Up next from the Center for Social Innovation at Stanford, Taking IT Global's Nick Yeo shares how a free online platform is empowering youth around the world to communicate and create global change on Social Innovation Conversations.
Hi, I'm Chris Dagelmeyer, the Executive Director of the Center for Social Innovation.
And I'm Eric Nee, the Managing Editor of the Stanford Social Innovation Review.
Welcome to Social Innovation Conversations. Today, we're excited to introduce a new interview by Sheila Setharaman in our Tech Award series. Sheila Setharaman is a correspondent of the Center for Social Innovation, a department of the Stanford Graduate School of Business that educates leaders to solve the world's toughest social and environmental issues. She interviews the Tech Award laureates, remarkable people who are leveraging technology to benefit humanity. For more information, visit techawards.org.
You've been listening to an interview by Sheila Setharaman in our Tech Awards series.
Hello to all of our Social Innovation Podcast listeners. This is Chris Dagelmeyer, the Executive Director for the Stanford Center for Social Innovation. I'm here today with Nick Yeo, the Development and Communications Managers for Taking IT Global. Taking It Global recently won the 2007 Microsoft Education Award from the Tech Museum. Launched in 2000, the Tech Museum honors innovators around the world who are applying technology to benefit humanity. Welcome, Nick. We're glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here, and I just want to say thank you to the Tech Museum for putting on such a fantastic event in November, and we really appreciate the honor of being awarded the Microsoft Education Award.
Great, great. I'd like to start our conversation today by asking you, Nick, to tell us a little bit about Taking It Global, and specifically, what's your organization's purpose, and what types of program and activities do you undertake?
Okay. I guess the best way to answer that would be to tell the company legend, as we like to call it. Basically, back in 2000, our founders, Jennifer Corriero and Michael Furtick, were rollerblading in Ottawa, our nation's capital in Canada, and they had just attended an international conference, and they were reflecting on that experience of going overseas, meeting young people, talking about global issues. But they realized when they got home, there was nothing for them to do. There is no follow-up. There's no place for them to go and express themselves in another fashion. So they realized the internet at the time in 2000 was a powerful tool that could connect individuals around the world. So they created Taking It Global. So what we are an online social network for socially conscious youth to learn about and express themselves on global issues. Our motto is inspire, inform, and evolve. And really, those three key words drive everything that we do. We inspire young people to take action. We give them the information to be knowledgeable about global issues, whether it's HIV/AIDS, climate change, child poverty. And ultimately, we want them to be involved in an initiative, whether it's a locally based in their communities or attending the climate change convention in Bali, which just happened. So that's really our mission. Our goal is to see young people around the world connecting with one another, inspiring one another, and ultimately making the world a better place.
Great, great. That's exciting. Can you give me kind of, you know, a more vivid example of just maybe one initiative you started, or just one concrete story of an example of maybe a change that happened in the community that came about because of your platform?
Right. Well, one of the strong partnerships that we have is with the Global Youth Coalition on HIV/AIDS. They're this organization based in New York. And what they do is use our technology to connect with over 300 youth activists working on HIV/AIDS issues around the world to create a series of e-courses that can be taught by youth for youth. So what they did was connected on our website using our discussion boards, our blog posts, our global gallery, which is where young people can express themselves artistically, gathered all this information together as learning resources, and then asked them, what do you want to learn as an HIV/AIDS activist? And they came up with four very basic concepts, teaching guides, if you will, of what they wanted to do. That is project management, political advocacy, grant writing and just general how to talk HIV/AIDS. So that's just one solid example, I feel, of taking it global, using its technology to connect people, specifically young people, but then how can they turn that knowledge and those connections into something actionable? And in this case, it was these e-courses that are delivered online that were free of charge to people to learn how to become better activists in the realm of HIV/AIDS.
Okay, great. So it sounds, and I know I've read some of your materials, you work kind of with a number of partners maybe around the world. You mentioned some big ones such as Microsoft and Google, and now you've mentioned some of these smaller local ones. So How do you go about kind of selecting your partners? So if people are out there listening, thinking, you know, they want to kind of engage with you on maybe a bigger scale versus the individual user, can you tell us a little bit about how you think about partnerships and how you utilize those?
Right. Well, I mean, ultimately, we are a nonprofit organization, so we love to help other organizations, regardless of their size. To us, we ultimately would love to see this partnership that we create with others to benefit the community in general. So what that means is if you are a community like the UNICEF and you have some policies or some articles that you like them distributed to our members, that's a great partnership that we see because our membership is learning more about your organization. If it's a organization surrounding climate change and you want to run workshops with us and you just need to know how can you engage youth on a digital level, then we can provide that expertise. So really, we take all of these partnership requests on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
We see what sort of value can we offer to them, because it's not just, you know, all about taking it global. It's something that we can give to them. In this Web 2.0 world that we live in, it's both give and receive. There's this back and forth flow of information, experiences, and knowledge that we love to share with one another. And ultimately, if you can benefit as an organization or as an individual, that's what we love to see. It warms our heart. It makes us believe that our mission, you know, is a legitimate one and that people are valuing the experiences and expertise of taking it global.
Great, great. So as somebody who doesn't necessarily fall into the youth category, so when you say that about engaging youth, two questions with this one. Kind of what's the age group you're generally working with and maybe what's the age group you want to be working with? And then secondly, can you tell us a little bit about the different areas of the world that you're working in and how those come about too? Like how do you decide to go, you know, into India or, you know, Madagascar, et cetera?
Right. So on your question about the age group, we tend to see the greatest activity among our members who are between the ages of 16 and 24.
Okay.
Those are critical years in a young person's life where they start to decide what they want to do with the skills that they have, what sort of experiences they want to see. That said, the membership on our website as a whole ranges from 13 to 30. And to be honest, everybody is young at heart. Everyone is a youth. We don't limit by age. In terms of the areas around the world where we operate, I can just give a quick breakdown of our membership.
That'd
for starters. 30% of our members are in North America, 22% are in Africa, 20% are in Asia, 12% are in Europe, 7% in the Middle East, and then it ranges down a little bit in the single-digit percentages for Australia, New Zealand, South America, the Pacific Islands. We've noticed that we have membership from all around the world, but it's very interesting that Africa, after North America, is the largest proportion of membership. And the reason we realized was in places in sub-Saharan Africa where internet activity is limited, you would have in internet cafes 4, 5, 6 young Africans sharing the same computer, sharing the terminal, and therefore sharing the experience of going on taking it global. What they've done is now created a mini network, if you will, of these 5, 6 individuals who log on, each creating their own profile. They're chatting with each other face to face while chatting with members in London, England, in Moscow, Russia, in, you know, San Jose. So it's interesting that this word of mouth dissemination of Taking It Global has taken root in Africa. We're starting to see that in Asia, and we're hoping to spread our reach into the Latin America and South America regions where we traditionally have not seen interest from the members. So that's how we've managed to spread out across the world. And just to follow up on that, we noticed that in West Africa, there's a huge, huge interest. So we started a program last year called Creating Local Connections West Africa. We are in 5 countries there. And basically, we train them on how to use ICTs, the information communication technologies, such as the internet, wikis, Web 2.0, or just word processing. And we've taught them how to implement ICTs with leadership training and how to implement them with entrepreneurship. So these young West Africans can now take their skills that they learned and apply them locally. They can help their communities, their villages, the socioeconomic situations that they face, and try to improve them with the application of technology, which incidentally is what the Tech Museum Awards was all about, technology benefiting global humanity.
Great, great. So in this kind of online world that you're in with a social mission, and kind of as you're very familiar with, I'm sure, of being a nonprofit and getting grant funding and so forth, how do you think about measuring your success in kind of this push towards outcomes and impact? There's there's the numbers game of like what's your reach, but how do you know, or how are you thinking about measuring kind of change in action, change in behavior?
Right. To my mind, all social innovators and social entrepreneurs are in the business of change. You're absolutely hit it on the head right there, that it's all about making an impact. It's making a difference, changing the state of mind, the state of the situation, what may be. In 2005, we did a survey of our members, and 74% of them felt that their perception of youth's ability to affect change in the world has improved. And half of our members actually did make some change in their life, whether it was joining an organization, volunteering, learning more about climate change, what have you. So we tend to take the approach of those, they're not so much quantified by the numbers, but the quality. What sort of stories are we hearing from members? And that's a push that we're doing in 2008, is to do an impact survey, if you will, interviewing a majority of our members, find out how did they use Taking It Global to make a difference. Specifically, what tools did you use? What were the results of your projects? Did you make connections with people around the world, or were you more focused on your local community? When we bring this back to our funders and the people who fund Taking It Global, they really love to hear these personal stories. And that's one of, like I said, this is one of the pushes that we're going towards in measuring our impact and measuring the change that we see with our membership. Ultimately, the fact that a member can write to us and say, thanks so much, you've opened my eyes, I'm now doing A, B, C, and D in my life, and you have no idea how much my life has been changed. Well, actually, we do know what your life has been changed like. The fact that you're talking to us and telling us these stories really makes a difference to us. And it's, it tells us that we are doing good work here, and we will continue to do good work so long as there are issues to be talked about around the world.
That's great. That's great. So when you think about Taking It Global, what do you think kind of your competitive advantage is? What sets you apart from other online networking sites committed to social change?
I think one of the differences that sets us aside is we have that focus on youth. It's about young people making a difference today. We are going to inherit the world tomorrow. I mean, I myself, I'm 25 years old, and I know there's a lot of different things that I can do out there in the future, but really, I need to be doing them now. I need to be at the table. I need to take action, make changes in my personal life, make changes in the lives of my friends and family, and ultimately make changes about in lives of everybody that I touch. And I think this is where we stand out from other people. Our members are already active people in their communities. They're not the sort of person who just thinks, oh, I think climate change is an issue and that's the end of their involvement. Rather, they are taking those extra steps. They want to know what is it like to work in the rainforest to prevent deforestation, how that's going to affect the gas prices here in Canada or the United States, and what's that going to mean for climate change in Northern Europe. They are so energetic and they're so deeply and deeply passionate about these issues. And I think that's the difference between us and, let's say, a Facebook or a MySpace or Avaaz or some of these other social network sites that are focused on these issues, where we have that passion, that drive, that energy, because we do know we have to take care of the world when everyone's gone.
Yeah.
You know, like, we are the next generation, and the generation after us will do the same thing. So if we address the problems from our perspective, or at least have the solutions contain our perspective, the youth perspective, then we know that we are making a difference. And that's what makes Taking a Global stand out.
Great. So have you thought about, though, in terms of, again, the social networking world of, you know, do you hook up with the Facebooks and the MySpace and the YouTubes of the world in more creative ways, to the extent, while you've got a huge reach, again, given how long you've been around and kind of your focus and what you talked about, your passion through Taking It Global. But obviously, some of these other sites, you know, their users are much more vast. So are there ways that you link with the other social networking sites that aren't necessarily driven by their social mission?
Right, absolutely. With Facebook, you know, their causes application, which apparently recently just opened up to Canadian charities, I think last week. So we're happy about that. You know, we definitely see the power of those networks, Facebook, MySpace, YouTube. And we do use them to promote what we do. But ultimately for us, we want to see members, you know, someone who's on Facebook who hears about Taking a Global transitions over to our site and realizes that this is a place for them to express themselves on global issues. It's not to say that we want to eliminate Facebook from their lives. We recognize that Facebook, and I'm only using Facebook as an example because it's the most popular site out there. We recognize that it serves a certain purpose to reflect your current existing social network in a virtual setting. Taking It Global's purpose is to connect young people around the world to talk about global issues. You know, one doesn't have to exist without the other. Like, we can work together, and we do definitely reach out to other social networks to bridge out and make these connections, because ultimately we are in this world of collaboration and sharing of knowledge, and it will hinder us if we try to limit our access or our visibility, if you will, on other networks. So we also just was approved by YouTube's nonprofit program. So now we have our own YouTube channel that we'll start populating with some videos that we've taken, and we're going to encourage our members to submit videos on our behalf to tell about the projects that they have been doing around the world.
That's great. That's great. One of the things that we haven't seemed to talk as much about is the work that you do around classroom learning. So can you give our listeners kind of a little bit more flavor of what some of those opportunities look like?
Right. So right now in North America, we are at a 30-year low in terms of student engagement. Students don't want to learn. They don't want to find out about these lessons. Teachers are having a difficult time to engage them. But when you start engaging students in the language that they understand, in a medium that they understand, namely blogs, discussion boards, video posts, online digital media, social networks, all of a sudden they become interested. So we've capitalized on that and created our TIG Ed program, which stands for Taking It Global for Educators. And essentially, these are virtual classrooms where teachers from around the world can log in. Their students log into this classroom, and they take pieces of content from our website, whether it's a piece of artwork, an article written by one of our members, a blog post on the situation in Burma, and they integrate them into this online learning environment where they educate their students on global issues. What we have found is that teachers really, really see the power and the potential of technology. This isn't to replace what they do in the classroom every day, but rather is to enhance students' engagement and their learning experience by speaking in their language and using the medium that they understand. We've seen a lot of teachers in North America use this. We're seeing them in Australia and New Zealand particularly. We'd love to see more teachers around the world. So if there are any teachers out there, definitely contact us, and we can do training workshops, professional development with teachers, superintendents, whoever wants to use technology to benefit their students' understanding. Ultimately, it's this it's again creating this environment, this community, this mini community where students are comfortable speaking to their teachers. Teachers are comfortable assigning specific topics for discussion that the students want to talk about, and really just drawing on the general knowledge and the collective experience of our members around the world to inform students.
Right. In terms of kind of issue areas that you're trying to address, you've mentioned a few: HIV and AIDS and climate change and so forth. What are you finding to be the biggest kind of motivating ones that are garnering young people's interest right now? So that generally, and then do you see variations, you know, across the different continents?
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I talk about climate change and HIV/AIDS is actually those are the two most talked about topics on our discussion boards, and those are the ones that people are blogging about. And then you will notice that in the developing world, you find HIV/AIDS is more of an issue. They are facing these disease every day, and they want to know how they can help their communities. Whereas in, you know, North America and Northern Europe, in Western Europe rather, there's a focus on climate change with the Nobel Peace Prize just being given recently, the Bali Convention. I understand President Bush signed some environmental law yesterday. So there's a lot of motivation. A lot of young people around the world are seeing this on their screens, on TV screens, or in their daily lives. But in terms of the other topics that are out there, corporate social responsibility, peace and governance, some of the conflict areas around the world, the whole idea of culture and identity and multiculturalism and tolerance, these are some of the topics that are also being discussed, and we encourage them to contribute to our articles, to our databases, to the blogs. You know, just get out there, say your word, what you want to say, and learn from everybody. So, I mean, that's kind of the issue-driven initiatives that we've seen happen.
That's great. So what are some of the kind of new opportunities that you're thinking about pursuing, you know, in terms of expanding your impact and reach? Is there anything you think our, you know, listeners really need to know about that's going to be new and exciting coming down the road?
Well, definitely in 2008, in August, we are involved with two major international events, the 4th World Youth Congress, which is happening in Quebec City in Canada, and the 2008 International AIDS Conference, which is happening in Mexico City. Both are happening in August, and the way we are involved with that are creating what we're calling virtual congresses, where people who can't attend Quebec City or Mexico City, they can log onto a website, they can learn about the sessions that are being given, they can attend lectures virtually, they can contribute to the discussions and policy papers that are being written. So we're providing this online virtual environment for people to get involved with these international events, which we feel are very important and should be on the radar screen for any young person involved or who's very active in global issues. On the perspective of Taking Global's website, we are hoping to implement in the first quarter of 2008 some new tools and technologies that will help bridge the divide between those who are passively involved with our website, simply reading articles, reading discussions, just taking information, and those who are very active, who contribute on a daily basis, who, you know, provide articles when we request them, who blog about everything that's on the website. So we're experimenting with a few tools that will create this network to be even tighter, and make this community even more vibrant. So that's just a couple of the things that are happening in the upcoming year. We're always open to new partnerships with organizations out there. So for your listeners, if you have some idea that you'd like to experiment with young people, definitely give us a shout. We'd love to talk with you. There are so many different ways for Taking Global to help benefit other organizations, whether it's setting up your own blog on your website or giving you some expertise on what is it like to talk to a young person on conflict in peace and war.
That's great. So as your organization looks out kind of over the next, you know, three to 5 years, what would success look like for you for Taking It Global?
Right. Success for us in terms of this long-term vision, we want to see more young people at these meetings where big decisions are being made. What I mean by that is, let's say there's a conference on how to achieve, or to make sure that we achieve the Millennium Development Goals. We want to make sure that there's a young person at the table representing either his country, his age group, his experience. We want to see the perspective of youth being taken seriously by government. We have a say. We don't vote because we feel disillusioned with the way you interact with us. So we want to see this closer interaction on a Web 2.0 level to engage us as citizens, not only citizens of your countries, but citizens of the world. We want to see taking a global expander membership. From a pure numbers perspective, we are at 175,000. In 5 years, we'd love to see us, and I'm just throwing out a figure here, but let's say we hit 1 million in the next 5 years. That would be fantastic. And ultimately, it's just more youth involved. We want to hear more stories. We want to see that young people in West Africa, in Siberia, in Southeast Asia are doing things on a day-to-day basis that improve everybody's lives, not just their own, not just their families, but their neighbors, their cities, their countries, everyone.
Great, great. So as we're getting close to wrapping it up, if for the listeners out there and just for you to know, about half of our listeners are out of the United States. So you're also reaching an international group out there. If you're thinking of your website right now, and you know there's a new member listening, hasn't heard about you, and they're going to go to their website and they're going to click on an interesting thing, do you have a favorite that you would send them to right now?
My personal favorite, because I'm kind of a creative person, is our global gallery. Essentially, this is a chance for all of our members to express themselves in an artistic fashion, whether it's digital photography, photo manipulation, painting, poetry, short stories. All of this is uploaded onto our website and people can add comments, and we are going to start implementing a site-wide voting system so we can see which of the pieces attract more attention, which ones are shine light on certain issues. So I definitely recommend those who are very artistically minded to check out our global gallery.
That's great. That's great. So last question, is there any last comments you want to say to our listeners before we thank you and encourage your continued development?
I would just like to say one thing, that there is a moral imperative for everyone to be socially innovative. What that means is it depends for each listener and everybody out there. We all have strengths that we can contribute. We all have passions that we want to follow. We all know that we can make a difference. And a site like Taking It Global can help you decide and point you in the right direction. We're not the only ones out there. It's out there that can help young people and adults and mature people on what to do and how to make a difference in their lives. We need to make a difference. This world that we live in is a shared environment. You know, we have to take care of it. And the best way to do that is by joining hands and marching together towards progress, towards, you know, benefiting humanity, and ultimately, if we can, a high and mighty task, world peace.
Right. That's great. So, Nick, thank you so much. The work you're undertaking is really important, and we wish both you and Taking It Global the most success we can, you know, give you in these upcoming years. It's really important work that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Chris.
You've been listening to a presentation from the Center for Social Innovation at Stanford. For more practical and provocative ideas, check out the Center's award-winning publication, The Stanford Social Innovation Review, at www.ssireview.org.
Sheila Setharaman is a correspondent of the Center for Social Innovation, a department of the Stanford Graduate School of Business that educates leaders to solve the world's toughest social and environmental issues. She interviews the Tech Award laureates, remarkable people who are leveraging technology to benefit humanity. For more information, visit techawards.org.
The post-production audio engineer for this program was Stephen Eng. Our website editor was Marguerite Rigoglioso. The series producer is Zach Jensen.
This is Chris Deigelmeyer
and Eric Nee on Social Innovation Conversations.
Thank you for listening.